All right, so welcome to the sound test for the next interview with Mr. Ethan Walters and also our spontaneous review of the new movie Civil War by A24 Studios. Ethan, you've been on the show a couple times. Yep. And the Redacted Culture Cast is a fusion of philosophy and how we understand violence, and in this sense, an element of culture, videos being a premium component for culture building in the United States, whether it's a sign of the times or something that we see as an effort to be made. We ended up going and seeing the movie recently, and we're going to have to split this up between a non-spoiler beginning with more spoilers as we go on. So before we get any further, Ethan, how are we introducing you this time?
I have no idea.
We don't know either.
Just friend.
Yep.
That's about it.
Well, thank you for hosting us, and let's get started.
Now, I'm very excited to announce the first official sponsor of the Redacted Culture Cast. Obsidian Arms is one of those companies that reflects the many facets of gun culture. Not only are their firearms frequently found on competition fields like USPSA and 3-Gun, but they are a Minnesota-based, US-sourced original equipment manufacturer. Obsidian Arms makes their own punch and tool kits for the amateur and professional gunsmith out of Little Canada, Minnesota, that come with a lifetime warranty. Whether it is fine parts that require a Swiss machine, or you're in the design phase and are looking for an American machine shop that is in tune with the needs of gun culture, go check out Obsidian Arms at obsidianarms.com. Thank you, and now back to the show.
So, movie as a whole, how did you go into the movie? What were your expectations, and how would you recommend somebody approach the film if they haven't seen it yet?
I think the trailer kind of it set the internet on fire, obviously, with how it seemed to portray certain factions or right versus left. But I think the best way to really go into the movie is to almost not think that way. Like, don't go in with any thoughts of sides, or is this going to be about Trump, or is it going to make me want to vote? Like, it really has nothing to do with that.
Yes, I want to agree with you on that one. It was surprisingly apolitical in a sense. Mm-hmm. There were certainly hat tips mm-hmm. to various politically cultural relevant items, but it wasn't so overt that it kind of flattened the movie as a whole.
Yeah, yeah. There were no really political views, actually.
Yeah, and there were they didn't reference any of the characters' approach that way. There was no accusations of fascism. There wasn't any like People's Revolution. Although there were sort of background noise. I remember mm-hmm. there was something referenced to like a Maoist something or another, but it certainly wasn't front and center. And even if the California Texas Union. I think that started with was, okay, we're going to take what is currently normalized in political aesthetics, and we're just going to mix them together. Yeah. And so if you were going to say this character was like a representation of this person, sometimes you'd see characters fighting against them, mm-hmm. representing what we would culturally assume to be on the same side in our world, in the world that we live in now.
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting how that trailer just kind of set the internet on fire. And really how it, when you see the movie, it really didn't matter at all. Like, everyone got bent out of shape about, like, the map. And, oh, Texas and Florida would never get together. And, like, and then you watch the movie and it's like, the people making the movie didn't care. Like, mm-hmm. There was no agenda.
Mm-hmm. At least, yeah, definitely in, like, the layout of the map. Mm-hmm. The perspective of the film wasn't from the angle of American politics.
Right.
The perspective of the film was definitely through the eyes of the journalist main characters, mm-hmm. which they introduce in the very beginning, and they maintain that throughout. Mm-hmm. So I think that's a good point.
And A24 is really I'm familiar with a lot of their movies, and I really enjoy them, like I believe Uncut Gems and Midsommar and all those other ones. And they do a great job of, it's really more of an art film. And so going into this, I kind of, after seeing the trailer, it was like, man, how is this going to go? But at the same time, you kind of have to trust the production house of like, they're going to do something with this. Like, mm-hmm. like it, there's either going to be a wild twist at the end, or it's just going to be more of a masterpiece, like, but very artful. Like when you see like these indie art films, like Her, Lost in Translation or stuff like that, it's very much like, oh, that, this is beautiful. This is art. It's just in that media.
Yeah. I wouldn't, I don't know. It wouldn't fit quite as a blockbuster.
Right. No, not at all. Yeah, not at all.
It's not. It's certainly not like a Michael Bay or Mm-mm. Transformers or even like Saving Private Ryan. Mm-hmm. It's just, it's a little bit grittier. I think I was expecting it to be a lot more bloody. I was expecting there to be a lot more carnage. Plenty, right. like, and some of that I think was a little bit of priming. I had heard something about it, that it was just an extremely gruesome movie to watch. And I don't, after watching it, there are certainly scenes where they emphasize that. Yes. But it's a lot more of, like, the brutality of people.
Yes. And it also kind of depends who you ask, too, because, like, oh, it's grotesque. Well, it's war.
That is war.
Like, everything in this movie is war. You yes. see it, and we can get into it in the spoilers, but it's just like, yeah, what did you think it was going to be?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not a Game of Thrones political
Yeah, problem. No, not at all.
Good. Well, then, what about tone? How would you describe the tone of the movie?
Very real.
Okay.
I mean, they painted almost a perfect picture at multiple facets of this is really what it would be like if there was a civil war in America, a civil war 2.0.
Mm-hmm.
Like in every facet, and it's really hard to like try to describe without getting into spoilers, but it really is like, well, yeah, that's how this would really be. Well, that's how these people would really be. Oh, then you also have these people over here that would act this way as well.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they really kind of nailed everything down.
The movie had very distinct scenes.
Mm-hmm.
There was, they each one kind of had like a setup, a crisis, and then a catharsis, mm-hmm. or a setup, crisis, mm-hmm. and resolution, or maybe not even a resolution, but you had these kind of rolling arcs.
Yeah, you did.
And each one was in itself a snapshot of some contextual element of what that might look like.
Mm-hmm.
Much less like American Civil War.
Mm-hmm.
Like when we think red or gray coats and blue coats, North versus the South, and a lot more of, I kept thinking of the book My War Gone By, I Miss It So by Anthony Lloyd, which was a journalist tracking and following along with the Bosnian Civil War. Right. And I wonder how much influence they took from those writings, because you certainly see that reflected in the film,
mm-hmm.
Which was quite refreshing. Instead of it being right versus left or red versus blue, yeah. It was definitely this contemporary conflict.
Right.
Cool. Well, we've gone about 10 minutes in. Let's get into the spoilers. So if you haven't seen the movie yet, please come back after you've seen the movie if you want to listen to our breakdown of each of the different scenes and the major spoiler-heavy takeaways from the film. This is your last chance to do that. And with that, let's roll in. So
probably, I guess, one of the bigger spoilers, you don't ever find out what started the Civil War.
Mm-hmm. There's no.
And that was something throughout that I was kind of like, huh. But it also, the way the movie's projected, you don't pick a side either. Mm-hmm. It's strictly through the eyes of the journalist.
Yep.
And it's beautifully done as well. And how you were describing earlier, kind of those arcs, the beginning, middle, and end, and then they move on to another scenario. It's beautifully captured with the film shots.
Yes.
As well. Like, that was one thing I really liked is, so in the movie, obviously, we're following these journalists, and and this one girl is shooting on film, and during these events and these skirmishes and these firefights, and she's taking these pictures, and she'll, and then it'll just completely be silent in a frame that's a black and white photo of the scene.
Yep.
And it's, and the photographs are beautiful, beautiful wartime photography.
Yeah. I do you recall if the, like, cause she's like the growing character arc.
Yes.
Do you recall if her shots in the beginning are kind of sloppy and
they are
okay
a little bit, yeah.
And then by the end, mm-hmm. you really have these like, this is a New York Times front cover piece, or this
yes,
is
yes, what, yeah. There were some kind of like in that Boogaloo shot, and a little bit further towards the end too. That I was just like, that is a beautiful photograph.
Mm-hmm.
Like coming from a photographer as well, you are too. Like a little bit, like it's definitely like, wow, that is a picture.
Mm-hmm. So the main character is played by Kirsten Dunst, and then there's two additional, well, there's a, really three additional main characters.
Mm-hmm.
And there's like the mentor-mentoree,
yeah,
or the teacher and the student kind of conflict, a little bit like begrudging,
mm-hmm.
From Kirsten Dunst. And then you got the young girl who's in at the beginning, and she wants to be like her. Or the young journalist, the new girl, wants to be like Kirsten Dunst's character. And at the beginning of the film, Kirsten Dunst is a very... Her character is portrayed as, like, emotionless.
Mm, very cold, yeah.
Very cold, very, like, I just do this. I've seen mm-hmm. so much.
Seen so much. That's a big thing, too, is going into her background a little bit. Like, she's photographed, you know, all these conflicts and wars across the country. And... I think you can get into this too, but she was saying, I wanted to photograph all these things because I never, and wanted to bring it home because I never wanted it to happen here.
She wanted to bring the photos home because she wanted it to serve as a warning.
Yes.
So that never happened in America. Yeah. Yeah. No, that line is in the trailers too.
Mm-hmm.
And it kind of played a prominent role maybe at like the end of the first third,
right.
But I don't think it really delivered later on. It was just her backstory. It was mm-hmm. building her into more of a character. So the scenes, there's the first scene, which includes a suicide bomber.
Yes.
But that one is mostly an introduction of the characters. Mm-hmm. And then you have this sort of politics-y scene of all the different journalists partying in a hotel.
Mm-hmm.
And then you start getting into the war. They're like they're on a road trip. They
want to go to DC
mm-hmm.
because there's these talks of the Western forces are gonna go in and attack DC.
Mm-hmm. And so they wanted to interview the president, yeah. even though it hasn't happened in 14 months. Was kind of a key line. The first thing they run into is they stop to get gas, and it's a very tense scene.
Mm-hmm.
You're kind of expecting sort of a bit. You're expecting like them to get preyed upon, as if they're gonna
right.
they're gonna get not jumped, but even uglier stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like the young girl walks around the corner because mm-hmm. she sees something, and then like this kind of goofy dude follows her, and it's yeah. very like,
it's very clear like, oh boy, here we go.
Yep.
Yeah,
and so but instead, it shows that those guys had strung up people from their own town
yeah.
who were looting.
Yes,
and so that scene, I think that was a good start too, because if they had put that later, that one really served as like, this set the tone. This is your expectations. Mm. We're changing them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cause they pull up and they start talking, and, when the girl goes around back and she sees the people hanging in the car wash, and the guy's just like, yeah, I went to high school with that guy.
Mm-hmm.
Like it humanized it. It brought it around. And he's just like, yeah, but I call him stealing. It's like, that's exactly what would happen.
In a small town.
Yep.
It's literally like, yeah, don't steal from your people in a yep. small town. There's also the reference to Canadian money being stable,
yes.
whereas American money is worthless.
Yeah, because he's like, can I get a full tank of gas and two gas cans?
Mm-hmm.
And he goes, I'll give you $300. And the hillbilly is just all like, $300 will get you a sandwich.
Do you want ham or cheese?
Ham or cheese. And then he goes, no, 300 Canadian. And he immediately shifts and goes... Oh, okay, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it was just like, oh. Mm-hmm. It was a very nice little dip. I'm like, oh, okay, so like now it's setting a little bit more. The dollar is absolutely nothing.
Mm-hmm. People, this community's fending for itself.
Yeah.
Then they move into, then there's the scene, they kind of have a camp out. It's a little bit more character building.
They have some nice conversations, and there's a firefight in the distance. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and you see the tracers and all this stuff going on.
Yeah, in the Joel character is sort of counseling the young girl, mm-hmm. like, you might not be able to sleep, but if you need something, let me know.
It was just kind of setting everything up, like, hey, like, this is the life of a journalist, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yep, it's going to be hard, it's going to be ugly. Mm-hmm. And so then they immediately cut to, they're, like, following these very clear Boogaloo boys. They got the Hawaiian shirts, they're in this weird firefight. Mm-hmm. Now, this one, for me, was probably the most uncomfortable scene. Mm-hmm. At least in the beginning, like, it was the first time in the movie that I felt my heart rate start to increase. And you have more or less like a small arms firefight between five or so guys, all in sort of different, like, different gear, different kit.
It's definitely a small fire team, yeah.
And they're shooting at some guys who are in, they're in a gunfight with some people who are in like a military uniform, mm-hmm. kind of a multicam thing.
Yep.
And that scene was really tough for me watching, because you could see the dysfunction mm-hmm. in the group, and it wasn't mocking.
No, not at all.
It wasn't like, look at these little bubbas running around in their goofy play cares. It was like they were yelling at each other and trying to figure out what to do, and one guy was pinned down and they're trying to figure, like, trying to throw smokes or something. And it, you see the journalist characters, like, sort of preying on them by jumping in and taking pictures of what's going mm-hmm. on. But at the same time, what I found so uncomfortable about that was their dysfunction. Mm-hmm. Like, it wasn't smooth.
Yeah.
But then it cuts, and they've won the firefight. The Boogaloo mm-hmm. boys won the firefight, and right. so they're kind of celebrating executing mm-hmm. prisoners.
Yeah.
Which, in contemporary war, seems to have returned a little bit. Particularly in references to Ukraine and mm-hmm. and Russia.
Yeah.
How'd you take that scene?
It was interesting because, I mean, of course, I think that was the topic of the trailer that came out so long ago. Mm-hmm. It was like, everyone was like, oh, here we go. It's the Hawaiian shirts. But it really did paint a picture of, like, not even trying to, you know, create this certain thing like the Boogaloo. But, like, it was definitely, like, the dysfunction of people who have a little bit of training.
Mm-hmm.
But perhaps, you know, not enough.
I think every time you saw the people in that gunfight that they were fighting against, mm-hmm. they weren't much better off.
No.
It wasn't a movie caricatured, like, extremely one-sided fight.
No, not at all, yeah.
John Wick versus...
There's casualties, yeah, on both sides. That was the thing, yeah.
Yep. And then they humanized the Boogaloo boys in the beginning, mm-hmm. or the guys in the shirts, whatever. They kind of humanized them, showing their pain. But then, when they got the upper hand, they were killing prisoners.
Yeah. Yeah, celebrating, drinking vodka.
Yep.
Being just, like, oh, that was wild, man.
Yep.
Like, poof.
Yep. And it was a very odd scene. Like, the part of it that was so tense for me was watching, like, I know what he's trying to do. They're trying to figure out, yeah. throw the smoke, hold covering fire, move.
Yep.
Why is no one flanking? Everyone's bogged down. They're yelling at each other. And it's just like, that's a terrifying experience because they've lost momentum. And now that's when they're going to get hit.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't sympathy for the characters out of their presented stance. It was just like, that's terrifying,
right.
because they're not going to make it.
Yeah, yeah.
So.
And then that rolls into the next scene.
So then they go into it's the village, right?
I believe they go into the village, yes.
The peaceful village?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Where everything's fine. People are shopping and walking down the street, and the grass is all nice and clean, and no houses are attacked. And
mm-hmm.
it was very, that was the scene in the trailer too, where he's like, you know, there's a civil war going on. And they're just like, yeah, we stay out of it. And it really kind of, that also ticked the box of, you know, another kind of, I guess, class of people that if there was a civil war, they would just be like, yeah, I don't want to acknowledge that there is. Like, we're going to live in our own little small town and world, and, you know, hopefully the violence won't come here.
Mm-hmm. But it doesn't remain that way. The city doesn't get attacked, but
no.
It starts it opens up pretty masterfully, or pretty well done, that not all is as easy as it seems.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Are you referring to the guys on the roof?
Yeah. You had mentioned it, like, as we were kind of...
It's a very short scene. They're just passing through.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, they're, you know, they're outside of that shop smoking, and the guy's like, yeah, take a look at the... Like, don't look, but, like, you know, just take a quick glance, and there's guys with guns on tops of all the roofs downtown.
Mm-hmm. They're clearly being watched.
Mm-hmm. Clearly being watched, but mm-hmm. it's, but yeah. And then I believe it rolls into the sniper scene.
Yes, and that one, you had a bet, you had a, you take that one.
I liked that one. So that was a little scene in the trailer too. It's the guy with the painted nails and, you know, the funky hair, but they're getting pinned down by sniper fire, and they, where they get out of the car, there's a sniper and a spotter. And one of the journalists was trying to talk to him, and he's like, "Who are you with? Who are you, like, what side are you on, or whatever?" And the guy's like, he looks over at the little girl, and he's like, "Does he not understand? Like, there's a guy in there trying to kill me, and we are trying to kill him. Like, that's it. Like, there's no sides.
Yeah,
it's simple. Mm-hmm. Like, this guy's trying to kill me. We're trying to kill him." And then, you know, the scene goes by, and they end up killing him, and then that's it. And they're like, "See, there we go. Now we're done."
Yep, I have good news.
Yeah, I have good news, and then that's it.
Yep.
Takes a shot, yep.
Yeah, and so that, yeah, so there's a, it's a sniper fight, it but it completely diffused the tension.
Mm-hmm.
And in almost this, like, the journalist, was, one of the guys was trying to get, like, maybe that was the most overt commentary in the video opposed to what it could have been about.
Yeah.
Right? It's just like you want it to be about sides. We're telling a story about war.
Mm, yes.
Okay. That's a good one.
Yeah, and I think that's why I liked it so much, because, I mean, to a degree, that can be what war is. It's like, he's trying to kill me. I need to kill him. Mm-hmm. And that's that. There's nothing else. It's that simple. War is that simple.
It's in certain circumstances, yeah, that is all it is.
And in that situation, it was nice, because, like, literally the spotter was just, the journalist was asking a bunch of questions, and he just turns to the girl, and he's like, does he not hear a word I'm saying? Like, I'm asking you a simple, like, I'm telling you, it's that simple.
Mm-hmm.
And the girl gets it, and Kirsten Dunst is laying in the field watching flowers while these two people kill each other. It's an art film. It was nice, yeah. But, does that roll into the they run into those other journalists.
Yeah, this is really, they kind of swap cars. Scenes. Yeah,
there's nothing too crazy to even touch on with that one.
It just kind of sets it up for the next one.
It does, yeah. Which, if you want to take that one, since you're not wearing your rose colored glasses.
I am not wearing my rose colored glasses, but I think I am wearing the shirt. Yeah, I'm wearing the shirt. But the big scene that caught so much attention in the trailer was, what was his name? What's the name of the actor? I don't remember. He's actually married to Kirsten Dunst.
I can't remember.
I don't remember.
He's great, though.
He's the guy with the red glasses, mm-hmm, that everyone knows.
You know, right? What kind of American are you?
What kind of American are you?
The line heard around the world.
Right? So that scene was trying very hard to be tense. However, I'm not saying that it wasn't tense. There was one part of my brain that was dealing with it being, you kind of know how this is going to end, because there are, like, if you paid any attention to the trailer, you also see this character, and this character over here.
Mm-hmm.
So you kind of know that they're not going to, like, end the scene there, but there's this weird kind of, like, not fog of war element, but the little girl character gets separated from her main party through some tomfoolery. And then the next time they find them, they're being held at gunpoint, mm-hmm, watching what looks like someone throwing a bunch of bodies in a mass
grave. Yeah, yeah, it's a mass grave.
Because it is a mass grave. But it doesn't give you any explanation of what it is.
No, there's no indicating markers, there's no camouflage or insignia or nothing. They just look like civilians getting dumped into a mass grave.
Yep, and I was, when they panned through the mass grave, I was trying to look at, like, the faces of the mm-hmm people, and I was curious, like, because they were covering them with lime,
yeah,
or lye, whatever. So the dissolve the bodies, mm-hmm, joke, but it wasn't like they were all of one ethnicity or all of one, right?
Yeah.
Right? That was a concern. I think people could have gone. I went into the movies like, is this guy just going to be like junior KKK? Like, mm-hmm, I have the power, right, now, right? And there's a certain, there's a certain tension that they bring in, because he starts asking people, where are they from?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he's very, very much so, he just wants Americans there.
Yes.
And that scene was, like, way more tense, mm-hmm, in the movie,
yeah,
than it was in the trailer.
For sure.
The trailer kind of made it a little light. And it just, like, how yeah. could you? But it did.
It was tense because you're playing Russian roulette with this dude.
Yeah.
And he's asking you these questions, and it's like, well, you better have the right answer. You don't know, but you can't really even understand exactly. what it is.
Yeah, he's not a caricature. Mm-mm.
And he's not giving you anything to read on.
Yep, I think it's almost the raw display of power. Mm-hmm. Like,
I have a gun, you don't.
And I don't have to ask you, I don't have exactly. to, like, care about your questions.
Yeah.
You're just going to give me answers, and if I'm happy with the
view. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, so raw display of power. A couple of side characters get killed. I'm like, even in retrospect, not really surprised by it. You kind of figure.
Yeah.
Someone had to die by this time.
Yeah.
There's a rescue, things happen. And then one of the original four ends up getting killed, yeah. which is sets it up for like the crisis.
Mm-hmm.
And so they have another big art scene. Well, beautiful yeah, scene.
Beautiful scene driving through a
burning forest.
Was it like the hills of West Virginia or something? Yeah, just on fire. And mm-hmm. yeah, it was a very, very nice scene. And then they end up on the base of the Western forces that are amassing outside to go into DC.
Yep. And so throughout the film, we're getting like two contradictory sets of propaganda mm-hmm. that are all playing in the background. They're yeah. not central to the characters.
Yeah.
And some of it's coming through the radio and some of it's coming through like almost like hearsay.
Mm-hmm.
And the president character begins the movie declaring victory.
Mm-hmm.
Like, we're going to win. This is crazy. We're declaring a great military victory, but by the time, and as they're going through their drive, as they're going through their car ride, you're getting the Western forces slowly but steadily encroaching on the Capitol mm-hmm. and getting closer to a military victory there, while the radio is claiming the opposite.
Yeah.
So the Sam character dies.
Mm-hmm.
And they arrive at this military base, which is not run by the Capitol. It's run by the Western forces. Mm-hmm. And
they are very well put together. I mean, you have Chinooks, Apaches, tanks, APCs. I mean,
it's clearly a well-organized military. This isn't mm-hmm. your militia kind yeah. of stuff. And the main characters discover that the Capitol has basically surrendered. And it's yeah. all...
And everyone's going in.
Yep. And the war is basically over. This is the final push.
Yep.
The generals of the generals of the government mm-hmm. have all quit
yeah.
and or basically
surrendered.
Yeah. And so DC is not they're not like even really invading. They're just going in and being done with it.
Yeah.
So that kind of dual sense of propaganda into not even propaganda, but that dual sense between these two propagandistic elements culminates. Which calls back to kind of the intent of their journey from the beginning, mm-hmm. which was the main journalists wanted to go to DC to interview the president, and now they're not going to be able to. And on the way there, they lose a friend, yeah. and it's all in vain. And one guy has a mental breakdown, and Kirsten Dunst basically stares off into the wilderness.
Mm-hmm.
And the young girl is trying to figure. This is like her first time seeing someone she knows dies.
Right, so but she's slowly like over these course of these events, the girl is slowly kind of starting to harden
mm-hmm.
and replace as the story goes, she starts to harden and Kirsten Dunst's character kind of starts to fracture.
She very much so.
And then of course it's going to crescendo into the end, but it was a really nice touch. I mean, there's so many layers really to this movie that you have to go in completely open-minded and eyes open, and you need to just soak up every little aspect, because there is so much to it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So we have to cover the last scene and yep. a summary. We've got to stop and take a break for the technology, and we'll get right back to it in a second.
Yep.
So we have this kind of culminating scene going on now, where the Western forces are pushing into D.C.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they kind of have the opening battle at the Lincoln Memorial.
Yep.
And then them pushing onto, you know.
Let's go through, for this section particularly, mm-hmm. let's start with just kind of storyline beats, and then address certain scenes, because there's like, there's a firefight at the Lincoln Memorial, there's a firefight at the gates to the White House that's been fortified.
Pennsylvania Ave, yeah.
Yep, and then there's what happens inside the White House. And there is no epilogue. It's just...
Yeah, yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
So... The one thing that was common in all the gunfights is they almost all end with like rocketry. Mm-hmm. There's like a prolonged firefight between two people with small arms, mm-hmm. and then someone comes with a rocket and blows something up.
Yeah.
Or an Apache shows up, yep. and blows something up.
Yep.
As far as like lighting and scene setting, I actually thought it was really good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it didn't feel like you were out of place. It felt like you were confined in the streets.
Yeah.
That it was an American city. That it wasn't.
Yeah.
It was very different than like maybe like an Afghan or Iraqi war video. There had this sort of lighting mm-hmm. aspect to it that I thought was pretty decent. It's all taking place at night.
Yeah, when I saw it in the trailers that it was like taking place at night, I was like, "Oh, that's really cool." But I think they really hit you with, it's a battle for America on the Mall.
Mm-hmm.
Like seeing the Lincoln Memorial get hit with a tomahawk and like seeing the street-to-street battles down Pennsylvania, mm-hmm. going up to the Southern Lawn, like it really kind of hits you that it's like, man, this is America. This isn't somewhere else. Like, mm-hmm. this isn't American military hoorah anywhere else. It's like, no, these are on the streets. Like,
they spent more time depicting people getting into positions and like guys climbing onto the rooftops,
mm-hmm.
or ending a firefight here. They didn't set it up. I think I was kind of expecting it to be Washington, D.C. to be sort of like a Ramadi callback, where it's like block by block by block of like conflict, movement, conflict. Mm-hmm. And there was like three key points. There was like one here, one here, and one here.
But it also makes sense when they've kind of surrendered and like abandoned their post or just left. Like they were really only kind of fighting select Secret Service at that point, mm-hmm. to where it's like, well, then that's it. Like, you only have 50 to 100 guys, like,
yeah,
like, it's not this big battle,
mm-hmm.
it's very much like, we're pushing in, you're gonna push a little back, but we're really just gonna mow you down.
Yeah, yeah. There's like a stall where the moving mm-hmm. forward forces get caught up at the gate.
Yep.
And there's like a gatehouse,
machine gun nest with the 240
machine gun, and then a tank eventually comes around the corner and blows it up.
Yep.
There's a couple of scenes. I think we should. I got to call back to some earlier parts in the movie. There's a number of scenes where they do this, and they do this very well. And it's that you have this scene that would otherwise be like a monologue or a big dialogue, mm-hmm. in like the joke of like animes. It would be like an anime scene where like they're fighting and they're gonna like yell at each other and explain their motives for life. Like, no, there are straight up scenes where like you're expecting someone to say something and it ends in a gunshot. Just. Bam. Yeah. No negotiations. Bam. We're not talking here. Yeah. Bam. Yeah. And a key one of those is when they actually push into the White House.
Mm-hmm.
There's the gal, the Secret Service gal,
mm-hmm.
who's in a pantsuit, and she's like offering to negotiate safe terms for the president's leaving, and they just shoot her.
Yep.
Like, oh, we don't want to negotiate. Bam.
Yeah. And that really set the tone too, because mm-hmm. it was just like, in those scenarios, there is kind of like, no, we're in your living room. Like, we're not, the time for talking's done.
Yeah. No negotiations.
Yeah, no.
It's over.
Yep.
Yeah. Why would I negotiate with you right now?
And that was kind of an interesting thing too. Cause like, as they're starting to push a little bit, to back up just a little before they get into the White House, you know, it's the Western forces, but then, you know, these like five kind of SF dudes actually kind of show up and join for that breach of the White House. And it was kind of cool to see that, because it was a lot more organized and, you know, well, shooting, movement, communicate, mm-hmm. you know, they had a little bit more ordnance. It almost looked like a CTT guy. Like, they brought a little bit more of the tactical feel into the movie.
Yeah, that contrasted an earlier, like, that contrasted the scene with the Boogaloo Boys.
Yes.
Where the Boogaloo Boys did, like, a CQB scene,
mm-hmm.
and it wasn't...
With the white light.
Yeah. It wasn't completely clunky,
mm-hmm.
but somehow they captured the feeling of people who didn't really know how to work together, mm-hmm. like just creating super basic SOPs.
Yeah.
Like, instead of, since no one, not everyone had, I'm making this assumption just kind of by scanning their gear, since not everybody had like a Surefire with a pressure switch,
right.
they just went to all white light.
There was only one guy with a suppressor with the Boogaloo ones.
Yeah.
I noticed that.
I didn't see a lot of suppressors. I saw a lot of like M4A1 block or block ones kind of thing. Mm-hmm. Like very simple, like A-frame front.
Yes.
Or something that looked like a cloner gun.
Yeah.
Some of the hillbillies had like pretty setup kit.
Yeah. Yeah. One was rocking like the LMT, like fixed rear sight, and a couple of like the black and tan anodized. And I was like, oh, okay. Like I immediately was trying to break down all the stuff. But yeah, when the SF dudes show up, it's pretty cool. And then, yeah, they make entry. And then I was fairly impressed. We watched these, you know, movies with tactics and guns or war, and it's usually always like, oh boy, rough. But like the way they moved, they communicated, the way they cleared rooms, even the dropping of the chems for the room cleared, I was like, that is a... Whoever they had, that was kind of...
They called deconfliction. They're
yeah.
Like, hey, blue, blue, blue. And then you see heard people saying blue, blue, blue.
Yep.
And then they...
Yep. And they stacked back up, got together, reloaded. One dude went offhand as he cleared to the left. Like, it was very well put together.
Yeah. They showed a lot of this intensity of a room clearing scenario where you have essentially two people bogged down in a hallway, like this kind of wide, special shaped hallway. I distinctly remember one shot where a dude is getting ready to like kind of enter and clear a room, and a guy moves across it and he just shoots through the doorway and just boom, 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 and clears his way in. And there's this, it's almost like it's a room through a room kind of shot. He's not waiting to stack. It's not like he's moving, stacking, and then moving and then stacking. It's like, he sees a target through a doorway and takes the shot while he can. Mm. And then they sort of expediently move to that room, which is kind of a common, I wouldn't say it's a common thing, but it is something that I've remembered in SOPs that I've trained under before, but it's that very much so the chaos of that battle. You don't get to have these neat and clear movements where everyone's moving to their positions. It's like, oh, they get bogged down over here. They got to fight through this spot over here.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. So they have this. They have that scene. They have the kind of cathartic ending scene where the student has become.
Yes.
Not necessarily the master, but the role reversal between Kirsten Dunst's character and the young actress's character, where they're now the young actress has become sort of battle hardened, and Kirsten Dunst is a little bit more. Fractured.
She gets very fractured as they get closer to the White House, and then it crescendos to like that final hallway where the apprentice becomes the master and they sealed it up fairly nicely with the girl goes to kind of take a picture as they're doing this final push of the room, and she goes right into the middle of the hallway. And dude raises his gun, and Kirsten Dunst kind of just grabs her and throws her down. And as she's falling back, the girl takes the picture of Kirsten Dunst getting hit and getting shot and killed.
And then
the cycle is complete, and the girl rises, and it kind of just looks back and is kind of like, it is finished, and is now become that hardened war journalist.
Yeah, even war fatigued.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah. Because then after that, it's actually a really short scene. They like go and find.
It was very short. Yep. I was just kind of like, oh, wow, okay, that's it.
Yep, the one guy who wanted to get an interview with the president gets his interview. He's like, say something.
Yeah, they drag him. They get in there. He's there, surprisingly, and they just drag him out from the Resolute desk because he's hiding like a coward. And then go ahead.
So that scene, like, you have this scene in the end which calls back to the beginning. Where the Joel character comes up to the president and says, say something.
Yeah, give me a quote.
Give me a quote, yep. And earlier, that same character, the Joel character, is talking sort of as a jaded character to, I believe, the young... I don't remember who he's talking to.
He was talking to Sammy, and Sammy was going over these, like, hey, what are you going to ask him?
What are you going to ask the president? Yep. And Joel's phrase was, like, we've had Gaddafi and this guy and this guy. He lists a bunch of like great leaders that all came to untimely deaths or turned out to not be like the great leader that they were portrayed as. And so the character who begins the movie, like he only, the president character bookends the movie.
Yeah.
He's one of the first people talking and he's like the last, he's only relevant in the last few seconds of the film.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows, he then says something very unceremonious, like nothing, no inspired, no bold F you to the universe. Mm-hmm. He's just kind of like, then dies.
Yeah.
And it's over. Yeah. And it's over.
Yeah, and that's over.
And you're like, oh, no postscript, no explanations, no long diatribes of the morality of these people or that mm-hmm. people. It's just finished.
Yeah, I think he goes like, give me a quote. He goes like, please don't kill me or something like that.
Don't let them kill me.
Yeah, don't let them kill me. He looks up at the soldier and he goes, that good enough for you? And he goes, yep. He shoots him, and as he shoots him, the girl gets the picture,
yep.
And then, like, that's it.
And that's it.
And that's yep. it. And yep. the movie's over, and you're just like, oh, wow.
Done. All right. So, final, like, full summary argumentation, or full summary of the movie. If I were to, like, I've heard some people do some references to, like, is this a movie that you see in the theaters? Is the movie that you buy on DVD? Is this mm-hmm. a movie that you just watch once? I'm kind of somewhere in, like, I might watch it a couple times every once in a while.
There's so much kind of to unpack
mm-hmm.
with it that it's like, I would probably watch it a good two or three more times. I would say go see it in theaters.
I think it's a good one to see in theaters because yeah. the scale of it
yeah.
feels a little bit more, like if you're watching on a small screen, it'd probably get lost.
Yeah, it would be like you're watching a documentary.
Mm, yes.
To a degree.
Yeah, I think I would agree with that. It's a good one to see in theaters. I think that's a good play. I don't think it has the predictive programming that was all the yes. buzz when the film came out.
Yes, when I posted that we were watching it, and I seriously got 25 DMs about how it was or whatever, and some people were like, oh, how was the predictive programming? And it was just like, come on, man. Like, there's really nothing. Like, you don't even know why
okay.
there is a civil war. They never even tell you. So it's just like, there's nothing in there. Like, it's literally a movie following a journalist documenting the civil war.
Yeah.
Like, and that's it. Like, there is no good and evil. There is no right or left. Mm-hmm. Like, nobody looks like Trump. Nobody looks like anything relevant. Mm-hmm. Like, I know people were like, oh, that pantsuit lady is AOC. Like, no, she's not.
No, she was a Secret Service
agent. Yeah, she was literally a disarmed Secret Service agent.
Yeah.
But, like, there was no predictive program.
However, from the trailer, it looked like it was trying to be, like, the trailer did not describe that she was a Secret Service agent.
Right, of course.
She looked like the Speaker of the House.
Yeah.
Or, like, not the Speaker of the House, sorry, the press secretary.
Yes, the press secretary.
And
it was because it was in the press room.
Exactly.
That they, yeah.
And this is something that we can't answer, but if like A24 was to find somehow like publish that they had two scripts for the film and they or two sets of scripts for the film or two ways that it could be edited to conclude or be written, and then they chose which one based on audience reaction, that would make sense. I think the trailer was much more leading.
Yes.
Then the movie followed up on. So the pantsuit chick easily, she easily is a pass for like an AOC or a Kamala Harris mm-hmm. character. You've got like these references, the guys in the Hawaiian shirts, the guy with the goofy hair and the painted fingernails, the dude with the red sunglasses who's crazy. Like their imagery in the trailer was very enticing.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a fan, let's just call it casually, a fan of the language of predictive programming, unless someone includes like a good definition. Because that's one of those words that you see, I see that word being used in the kind of way that like the woke manipulate language, where it might mean one thing over here and it means something else over here.
Right.
And we end up like arguing over what does it mean for something to be predictive programming. It certainly... If predictive programming is simply that the people who wrote, directed, and filmed the video had a finger to the pulse of triggering, and I mean that softly, not in a crazy way, but triggering or iconically identifiable items, then yes, it was 100% predictive programming. But if the movie was trying to tell you how to think a certain way and get ready for a certain thing, then no. This was not a movie telling us about getting ready for a civil war.
Yeah, no.
It would probably be categorized as an anti-war film. You could do that.
Yeah, the horrors of war.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, circling back to kind of what Kirsten Dunst was saying, how you know, she went to all these conflict zones to bring him home, to show him, like, hey, you never want to have this happen here. Yeah. And then it ends up happening there.
Yep.
And she falls apart.
Yep. And that and the... there was one other element that... trying to think of it as mostly an anti-war film was that... There were no good guys. There were no bad guys. There was just war.
Mm.
And it followed... the journalists, sometimes even portraying the journalists as mercenary. There's plenty of scenes throughout the film where you have these journalists, like, they even openly talk about it. Not only a little bit in the beginning, where it's like you've got a guy bleeding out and he's like, or you've got some like horrible thing happening and he's surrounded by people with cameras.
Yeah.
And I wonder if there was an intent... I wonder if there was ever an intent from the creators to point to that more heavily and not follow through on it.
Mm.
Of how the modern war will be fought. It's like... It's almost like... if I were to go full, like, almost like a narcissistic direction with it, it's that the war that was happening was less important than the ambition of the people trying to take pictures of it.
Mm.
And it was just like, oh, the journalists are not necessarily inciting the war. There could have been there could have been reference to that. There could have been ways they would have referenced that in the beginning, but that wasn't actually the case. It didn't. What I'm trying to get at is that the journalists in many scenes are painted as very mercenary.
Mm-hmm.
They're invading into these painful, sometimes intimate. Death involving intimate scenes, and they're there to just get a picture.
Right, yeah. Many scenes, like a little bit in the Boogaloo scene, and also even more so in the kind of storming down Pennsylvania Avenue, they're getting in the way. Between the Pennsylvania Avenue to the South Lawn battle, the amount of times one of those SF dudes grabs the girl cameraman by the Kevlar and just drags her back. Like, no, like, we're in a stack right now. Like, get out of our way. Like, yeah. It was very, yeah, you could paint that.
Yeah, that part also could have been trying to portray them sort of as heroes.
Mm.
Like, the journalists are the heroes, they are the main characters, they are the protagonists.
Right.
But there wasn't really an antagonist.
No, not at all.
There wasn't really a chief antagonist.
That's one thing I kind of almost copied and pasted to all those DMs I got. It was it was not right or left, it was just war.
It was just war, yeah.
Yeah. So, like, go see it for yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's a really good way to wrap it up.
Yeah.
I think that's a good...
Yeah, go see it. I think it was a really good film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. It was a good film to watch. It's good to go in recognizing that it's not trying to lecture you
about politics. Yes, not at all.
The character of Nick Offerman is barely in the film.
Yeah.
He's irrelevant to the story, effectively.
There really is no politics
mm-hmm.
in this. There is only the journalists
mm-hmm.
and them trying to, you know, tell a story or do a job.
Yep. Alrighty. Well, then let's wrap it up. And hopefully this audio test has worked out better than sometimes before.
Yeah.
But if that's going to be the case, thanks for joining us. Ethan, where do people find you right now?
You can just find me at Gypsy Walters. I'm just drawing and doing my thing.
Drawing and doing your thing. All right. Well, if you want to follow us as well, this has been the Redacted Culture Cast doing a slightly longer review of the new movie called Civil War by A24. With that, we'll talk to you later.
Go forth and conquer.
Go forth and conquer. You stole my line!